Welcome to the GCSE Music Mastery Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics on the OCR GCSE music specification, harmony. Whether you're sitting your listening exam, working on your composition, or preparing your written appraisal, harmony is absolutely everywhere in music, and understanding it properly is what separates a grade 4 from a grade 8. So settle in, grab a pen, and let's get started. Harmony, at its most fundamental, is what happens when two or more notes are played simultaneously to create chords, and those chords are arranged in sequences called progressions. In tonal music, which is the kind you'll encounter most in the OCR specification, harmony has a sense of direction. It moves away from home, creates tension, and then resolves back. That journey is what gives music its emotional power, and it's what examiners want you to understand and articulate. Let's start with the absolute basics. Chords and their Roman numeral labels. In any major or minor key, we number the chords using Roman numerals based on which degree of the scale they're built on. Chord 1, written as Roman numeral Y, is the tonic chord, built on the first note of the scale. This is home base. Chord 4, Roman numeral 4, is the subdominant. Chord 5, Roman numeral 5, is the dominant, and it's the most harmonically active chord in tonal music. Chord 6, Roman numeral 6, is the submediant. These four chords form the backbone of most of the music you'll encounter in the listening exam. Now, here's something really important to understand. The dominant chord, chord 5, has a powerful magnetic pull toward the tonic. When you add a seventh to it, creating a dominant seventh chord, written as 5-7, that pull becomes even stronger. The dominant seventh contains a tritone interval, which is deeply dissonant and desperately wants to resolve. Whenever you hear that characteristic tension in a piece of music, you can be pretty confident a perfect cadence is coming. Memorize the sound of V7. It will serve you brilliantly in the listening exam. Let's talk about cadences, because they come up constantly in OCR exam questions. A cadence is a harmonic punctuation mark. It's the way a musical phrase ends. There are four main cadences you need to know inside out. The perfect cadence moves from chord 5 to chord 1. It sounds finished, conclusive, like a full stop at the end of a sentence. You'll hear it at the end of most classical pieces and at the end of verses and choruses in popular music. The bass line typically leaps upward by a fourth or downward by a fifth. The plagal cadence moves from chord 4 to chord 1. It sounds gentle and peaceful. It's the amen cadence you hear at the end of hymns. The bass movement here is different. It moves down by a fourth or up by a fifth. This is a really common mistake in the exam. Candidates confuse perfect and plagal because they both end on chord 1. The key is to track the bass line. If the bass leaps a fourth upward to land on the tonic, that's plagal. If it leaps a fifth downward, that's perfect. The imperfect cadence ends on chord 5. It sounds unfinished, like a question hanging in the air. Any chord can precede chord 5 in an imperfect cadence. It's the harmonic equivalent of a comma in a sentence. The music pauses, but clearly has more to say. The interrupted cadence is the trickiest one. It starts like a perfect cadence. You hear chord 5 and expect chord 1i, but instead, the music moves to chord 6. The effect is genuinely surprising, like a musical plot twist. The submediant chord is a minor chord in a major key, so the effect is often bittersweet or unexpected. Examiners love asking about interrupted cadences, precisely because candidates often miss them. Here's a memory trick for the four cadences. Think of the phrase, perfect, plagal, imperfect, interrupted, or use the mnemonic, pretty pink icing, irresistible. Perfect ends finished, plagal ends peacefully, imperfect ends on fi, interrupted ends surprisingly on 6. Now let's move on to some other harmonic devices that OCR examiners credit in both listening and composition. A pedal note, sometimes called a pedal point, is a sustained or repeated note in the bass, usually the tonic or dominant, while the harmonies above it change. You'll hear pedal notes in organ music, in film scores, and in many of the set works across the OCR areas of study. A tonic pedal creates a sense of stability and grounding. A dominant pedal creates tension and expectation. It's often used to build excitement before a climactic moment. In the listening exam, if you hear a held bass note while chords shift above it, name it as a pedal and specify whether it's tonic or dominant. A drone is similar to a pedal, but typically refers to the sustained sound found in folk music, bagpipes, and world music traditions. In the rhythms of the world area of study, you'll encounter drones frequently. They create a modal, hypnotic quality rather than the functional harmonic tension of a pedal. Chromaticism refers to the use of notes outside the diatonic scale, notes that don't naturally belong to the key. chromatic harmony creates color, tension, and ambiguity. In film music, another key area of study for OCR, composers like John Williams use chromatic harmony extensively to create unease, mystery, or emotional complexity. When you describe chromatic harmony in the exam, don't just say it sounds weird or dark. Say it creates dissonance, harmonic ambiguity, or tension through the use of non-diatonic pitches. Modulation is the process of changing key within a piece. The most common modulations in tonal music are to the dominant key, which is 5 semitones up and shares most of the same notes, and to the relative major or minor, which shares the same key signature. In the listening exam, you might be asked to identify whether a modulation has occurred and to which key. Listen for a new leading note, the note a semitone below the new tonic, and listen for the new dominant seventh chord establishing the new key. Extended chords go beyond the basic triad. A seventh chord adds a fourth note, a seventh above the root. Ninth chords, 11th chords, and suspended chords, like the sus4, add further color. In your composition, using extended chords demonstrates harmonic sophistication and will earn you credit under AO2. A sus4 chord, for example, replaces the third of a chord with a fourth, creating a feeling of suspension that resolves beautifully when the fourth drops back to the third. Now let's talk about the different harmonic languages you'll encounter across the OCR areas of study, because harmony doesn't work the same way in every style. In the concerto through time area of study, you're dealing primarily with diatonic functional harmony, the kind we've been discussing. Baroque and classical concertos use clear chord progressions, predictable cadences, and modulations to closely related keys. Examiners expect you to use precise Roman numeral analysis and cadence identification here. In film music, the harmonic language is much more varied. You might encounter chromatic harmony, whole tone scales creating a dreamlike quality, modal harmony giving an ancient or mysterious feel, or even atonal passages where there's no clear tonal center at all. When writing about film music harmony, always connect your harmonic observation to the dramatic effect. Why did the composer make that harmonic choice at that moment? In Rhythms of the World, harmony often takes a backseat to rhythm and texture, but you'll still encounter modal harmony, drones, and pentatonic-based chord progressions. The key here is recognizing that not all music uses Western functional harmony and being able to describe alternative harmonic systems using appropriate vocabulary. Right, let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. This is where marks are won and lost. The number one mistake candidates make is using emotional language instead of technical language. Writing the harmony sounds scary earns 0 marks. Writing the chromatic harmony creates dissonance and harmonic instability, suggesting tension or unease, earns full marks. The examiner needs to see that you understand the technical mechanism, not just that you have ears. The second most common mistake is confusing cadences. As I mentioned earlier, the key to distinguishing perfect from plagal is the bass line. Train yourself to listen to the lowest voice. A bass that moves up by a fourth to land on the tonic note is plagal. A bass that moves down by a fifth to land on the tonic is perfect. Practice this with recordings until it becomes instinctive. Third, candidates often describe harmony without specifying the context. Don't just write, "There is a perfect cadence." Write a perfect cadence at the end of the phrase, confirms the tonic key of D major, and provides a sense of resolution. The extra context is what pushes you into the higher mark bands. Fourth, in composition, many candidates write chord progressions that wander without direction. Every chord progression should have a sense of harmonic journey, away from the tonic, building tension, and returning home. Use the dominant seventh to signal your cadences clearly. Avoid parallel fifths and parallel octaves between voices. These are voice-leading errors that examiners will penalize. Fifth, don't forget about modulation. Even in a short composition, a brief modulation to the dominant or relative major or minor will demonstrate harmonic sophistication and earn you additional marks under AO2. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What are the 2 chords in a perfect cadence? Pause now. The answer is 5 to Y, dominant to tonic. Question 2. Which cadence is known as the Amen cadence and why? Pause now. The answer is the plagal cadence, 4 to I, because it's traditionally sung at the end of hymns on the word Amen. Question 3. What is a dominant pedal and what effect does it create? Pause now. A dominant pedal is a sustained or repeated note on the fifth degree of the scale in the bass, while harmonies change above it. It creates tension and anticipation, often used to build toward a climax. Question 4. What is the difference between diatonic and chromatic harmony? Pause now. Diatonic harmony uses only the notes belonging to the current key. Chromatic harmony introduces notes outside the key, creating dissonance, color, and harmonic ambiguity. Question 5. In OCR GCSE music, which assessment objective covers composition, and what percentage of the total marks does it represent? Pause now. AO2 covers composing, and it represents 30% of the total marks. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread the relevant sections of your study guide before your next listening session. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Harmony is the simultaneous sounding of notes to create chords, and the progression of those chords through a piece of music. The four cadences, perfect, plagal, imperfect, and interrupted, are harmonic punctuation marks that you must be able to identify by ear and describe precisely. The dominant seventh chord is your key signal for an approaching perfect cadence or modulation. Pedal notes, drones, and chromaticism are important harmonic devices that appear across all three OCR areas of study. In the exam, always use technical vocabulary. Dissonant, diatonic, chromatic, modal, never emotional descriptions alone. In composition, give your harmony direction, use extended chords for sophistication, and avoid parallel fifths and octaves. Remember, harmony isn't just theory on a page, it's the emotional architecture of music. Every time you listen to a piece, whether it's a Baroque concerto, a film score, or a piece of world music, you're hearing harmony at work. The more you train your ears alongside your theoretical knowledge, the more natural this will feel in the exam room. Thank you so much for listening to the GCSE Music Mastery Podcast. Good luck with your studies, and remember, you've got this. See you next time.